Okay, I guess we can start. It is April 20th, and this is the BOT bargaining team and the UFF bargaining team. We are impact bargaining today. And I think that you guys have a proposal that you had shared with us earlier, and you want to go through that with it for us and
Yes, we do.
Great.
Chuck, were you going to share screen or did you want me to go through it?
Why don't you go through it?
Okay.
Shoots wrong thing.
I'm trying to figure out how to share the screen. Okay, here we go. Host disable participant screen sharing. So the host has to give me rights to screen share.
How do I do that?
It's at the bottom under share screen. So under the share screen, there should be some options there.
Let's see. Okay, can you do it now?
Let me see. Yes, I can. Okay. All right. So you see what I see, right? So let me get this.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Oh, how do I do this? Sorry, I changed my system today and I'm having trouble. Okay, let me move it like this. Okay, here we go. All right, and I'll make this a little bit bigger. So I don't see any of you right now. It's just so we can focus on this. So looking at this then, how did you want to do this? Or who's going to be leading today? Sherry or Chuck?
Chuck with me joining in.
Oh, okay. Did you want me to go through the changes that we made, some of the minor
changes? Yeah, sure. And just kind of talk us through your proposal.
Okay. All right, so the first paragraph, these are actually corrections from Chuck, so we accepted them all. They were good. I think the one thing is we forgot the double underline when we agreed. Number one, the instructor shall maintain rights, contact is required, blah, blah, blah. We accepted that. Number two, this is where we had some minor changes here. So we added the sentence. Faculty are professionals and capable of determining what adjustments need to be made to complete their pedagogy. And part of it is like I've heard you saying about like talking about flexibility and such. So we added that. Let me see what else is in there. And over here, so I, you know, the good faith effort, it just seemed too general on our part. Our team did talk about this extensively of what good faith effort meant, and we considered that there are some supervisors and who, for whatever reason, you know, we have to, this could be very subjective. So we were a little concerned that good faith effort might be way too subjective. So we went back to our original language, which is there shall be no adverse employment or evaluation, but we did limit the time period. So we did it before it was kind of all time. So here we put during spring 2020. And part of that was because of we mentioned before, having professors in my own department, I'm sure everyone has this, that assumed that they'd be doing face-to-face for the rest of their lives, or at least until they retire. They had the most trouble trying to adapt into the online world. And then over here, the next line, it's 28 to 31. So that was Chuck's language, assuming makes good faith effort. So again, we crossed out the good faith effort and assuming. And we put, an employee shall choose whether their course evaluations will be included or excluded. So we kind of made a little bit kind of, what do you call, cut the baby in half a little bit in that one. We accepted some of the language, which was to be included so that people could make their choice of whether they wanted to include them or exclude them. But we just removed the good faith effort. Okay, so going then, we added this one 38 to 40 as a concern from some that I guess some people are being more creative with Zoom, and they're actually holding their class synchronously. And we know that sometimes the online courses are meant to have more flexibility. And so we just wanted to basically request that the university consider that some professors, given the COVID situation, that if they cannot teach face-to-face, and we could add that line or, you know, to be as specific as possible, that if they're forced to teach online, that they could do it asynchronously or synchronously with a set schedule instruction. Okay. 45, we added that line. So international and impacts. We added just the phrase there, outside of the faculty members' control, which reduce or make impossible faculty members' ability to conduct their scholarship. So again, just an impact statement. Went down. Number 5, I think we agreed on. Yes?
I'm sorry, if I may interrupt for a moment.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Just because I noticed we just entered a new section, do you want to take a pause to, or wait until we review
And
before any questions, or I mean, whatever Chuck and Terry want to do, unless they have questions now, or?
I think our thought was, you had been so gracious to let me talk and go through everything point by point. We're very interested in hearing what your thoughts are. I'm pretty sure we're going to have some things that we'll want to discuss with you, but we're very interested in kind of seeing what the whole thing looks like and what the rationale is. Really appreciate just hearing your thoughts on these points.
All right. Sorry to interrupt. Thank you.
No. Good question, though, Scott.
Yes, thank you, Scott.
And we reserve the right to not abide by that if we feel compelled to ask a question.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Okay. All right. So now section 2. So I will take a pause instead of just going into the numbers. So this pertains specific to research, creativities, and professional development. So as I said, on 45, we just added that any impacts that reduce or make impossible. So any impacts outside of the faculty members' control, which reduce or make. Just to be a little bit more specific. It looks like in number 5, we agreed for the most part, so we didn't make any changes to that one. We're faculty at the university. And I actually worked off of Chuck's piece, so, you know, if you wanted to make changes, now or soon.
Okay, here I go. I'm going to violate the rules.
Okay.
Here we go. On your number 5, mm-hmm. I think when we had talked about that, that was something that we had actually recommended striking because
that's
it's
right.
really already been covered.
Okay. We're focusing.
The university's already taken care of this.
Okay. All right. So let me. Okay. If I recall, let me do this. Okay. We meant, or this shall be granted. Could you tell me where it was covered? It was in one of the emails, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And it would take some digging to find. Yes, it would take some digging to find it.
Okay. If I'm recalling correctly, I think, yes, I saw that email soon after we had this conversation. Okay. All right. Now this is number 5.
I think what happened was you accepted the changes to that, and that's why it showed that way in the document. But I think that was just a little bit of a mistake, and it looks exactly like we meant it to look now.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yeah, we were fine with that one. So now 5. This was, again, merging of both our languages. We had it in ours. Chuck just moved it up from the bottom and to the top. So that was no changes either. I think we agreed on that one. What's now number 6. We made this, let me see what a change that we make. So this is working off of Chuck's language. So we, you know, he put to the extent possible under evolving budget conditions and under university policies and regulations, it almost made it sound like they would not have access to their money. So we went and just kept the language as employees shall use discretionary funds that were allocated during the academic year 2020-21. And we could, you know, open discussion about that one. Number 7. I think the only thing, we just like just moved things around a little bit, and the new word we added, and this is again working off of Chuck's language, we added the word essential before healthcare providers, that except for essential healthcare providers, in-unit faculty and professional employees shall be allowed to work from home. And we put that there because there was some concern, like not all nurses have to be in the front lines. Like some of them can actually work from home because they're doing different type of works. Okay, number eight now. This is again, agreeing to Chuck's language, once all applicable government mandated restrictions expire. I think a lot of this is a, should it become, I think yours, Chuck's, was should it become necessary. We might have put the university shall provide notice of changes to facility access to the university community on its website. But we essentially agreed to the idea that the university will announce to people when the school is closed or locked or on lockdown. Okay, number nine, which was for more for tenure earning faculty. Oh, I apologize about that. So working lines 81 through 83, we were fine with. Lines 85, we just changed from probationary to tenure earning, just because we thought it sounded nicer during this 1 year of 2019-2020. And then, oh yes, and then while reserving, we like this language, we kept it, we didn't make any changes, while reserving their right to request an early promotion / tenure. And then thank you for adding the website to this document. 95, 97, so faculty with startup funds shall be granted a 1 year extension to make use of such funds unless the employee, so instead of subject to availability of funds, we added instead unless the employee resigns, is non-reappointed, or their position is ending. So we thought of that as a kind of a negotiating point. So because there's some confusion in this. So because even I have some funds coming to me as well for this year, and there's some confusion as where those funds actually are. So I know that because of COVID, there's some sorting out of things and we still have to talk about budget and everything. So we just added that line there on 96, 97. The next one, which is now 10, let me see. So some of this is Chuck's language that you may petition their dean for a remedy in order to complete the portion. So some of this just comes from Chuck's language. Such petitions will be considered on a case-by-case basis. That's on 104. I think the only change we may have made here is we added may.
Well, it looks like you took out petition the dean on the second.
Petition part. The dean. Yes, yes. So may defer. Oh, that's what we did. So yeah, we crossed out this part. So so during the academic year, may defer their sabbatical. Just because we thought it was... could you tell me your logic as to why the dean and why that, I guess that little phrasing was necessary on 105?
Well, because these awards are all done at the college level, college review, mm-hmm. with the dean's approval, just the dean ought to be aware of it, and the dean is going to have understanding about how that college is going to be impacted one way or the other. I could even imagine a situation where a dean might even petition a faculty member to defer it. I could really use you in the coming year in the classroom, for example. So I'm of the opinion, I think the rest of the team is as well, that the deans probably need to be involved in that
decision. Okay. All right. Okay. That's something we'll discuss. Yeah, okay. All right. So the next section, did you have something else to add, Sherry?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. The next section three, issue disease, public health, and sanitation, because this is a concern of several of our faculty. So we know, that UFF is aware of the situation that a lot of people just don't know what's going on. So we kind of changed this, again, kind of a merging of language, a little bit of negotiation here, that we understand the university will at least clearly and specifically announce what sanitation and cleaning methods have been taken before reopening the campus to employees. Because I know there's some of the university employees who'd like to know how how clean or not clean the university is going to be. I'm assuming, I'm only assuming, that the state or federal government may have some basic guidelines as to how to clean. So this is just basically just telling the university that they'll announce, or, and I think they've done this in the past where they say, you know, like the water, how clean the water is on our campus. So it's, I don't think it's too outside of what the university has done in the past. For announcing to everyone, this is how we cleaned and sanitized the campus. Okay, all right, so the next ones, so we left those, you struck those, so we agreed to those, striking that language regarding the, because things were changing as we were writing this, like day by day, so families first, coronavirus, I know that's already covered, the CDC, you know, those things have all changed on a daily basis. So this puts us into category four, which is caregivers. And we changed a little bit, we added a little bit of language. So actually, no, this is actually Chuck's language. So faculty and professional employees with children may use available leave. So we kept that there because it helps.
That's a change, actually.
Oh, which one?
The May is
May, okay.
That faculty and professional employees are expected to use available.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll discuss May then. May is our new word in there.
I mean, Giovanna, the thing is that's something that's really important. I mean, all of us, whether we're in unit or out of unit, we are expected to use leave when we miss duties. That's just,
yes. Oh, okay.
It's supposed to happen. It's not, well, I'm going to take sick leave this time with my cold, and you know, next time, well, I don't feel like taking sick leave. It if I'm missing duties that I'm supposed to be fulfilling, I am expected to claim leave.
Okay. All right. So, okay, the way our team read this was that it was targeting parents. So we read it kind of in a different way. So I understand your logic behind this. It's if you are ill, you are expected to take leave, or your children
are not able to fulfill duties.
Fulfill duties. If you are unable to fulfill duties, okay. So I'm just going to add a little. If you're unable, and we can talk about this in a caucus. Fulfill duties. Okay. Yeah, because we understood it a little bit differently when we first read this. So now I understand where you're coming from. Okay, let me just underline it. Okay. I had a brief question about this one as well. So, and is this supposed to extend through the rest of the year in 2020? Do you know?
Are you asking about the families first?
Yes. Yes.
It currently is in effect until December 31st, 2020.
So it could be that a group of people request in the fall to take leave, this kind of leave.
Yes.
Okay. Has there been any concern at the university level about that?
It's a federal benefit, so I'm not sure what you mean about concern. I mean, it applies to universities, so we are giving the leave. There is, however, I guess I should note, if the faculty member has already used their FMLA leave, they don't get 12 additional weeks of emergency FMLA leave. There's only a total 12-week entitlement for both types of leave. So, but the FMLA leave year runs at our university, was it July 1st through June 30th? So starting June or July 1st, they may have more FMLA leave available, but if they've already used their EFMLA, they don't get another 12 weeks of that. So does that make sense?
That makes sense. And just for clarification, if they want to take it in summer, do they have the choice? Let's say they teach in summer, can they take it for summer or fall?
They can take it whenever they want. It's just the only to make sure it applies, it has to be when a school or a place of day, basically a daycare, place of care for the child is closed because of the coronavirus. So for example, if in the fall schools are open and daycares are open, then it wouldn't be available. Oh, so okay. It has to be that the child care, the usual child care option is not available. And that also goes for usual caregivers. So like if their grandma normally takes care of the child, but is not available because of the COVID pandemic, that also counts.
Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for explaining that, because we were, yeah, I didn't know everything that it entailed. All right. Thank you. Does anyone on the team have any questions about it?
No questions.
And if you guys come up with any, you can email me and I can assist the best I can, or I can work with HR to get you an answer.
Okay. Thank you, Sarah. This line we added, both parties agree that COVID-19 has a gendered impact and will not impose policy that may discriminate based on gender. And we added that one, I guess, because, as I said, I think last time we did a survey, we asked our faculty, tell us what's up, what's, you know, how is COVID impacting you? And I think I mentioned last time or last week that we had a lot of, in particular, women faculty who were feeling more pressure from COVID than others because of, you know, I guess family, home duties, taking care of children, but also, you know, the usual stuff that most of us have heard, know about is, you know, the being the primary caretaker, the one who's making the dinner, the one who's, you know, the children run to. So even when their husband is trying to help, it's not always, it doesn't always work to their advantage to be at home. So we just put that and not impose policy, I think in part to kind of make some of our women faculty also feel that they're being valued and we're thinking about them. It's, you know, that they, some of this burden is greater on them than others.
Giovanna, this is one point that I feel pretty strongly about, and I think we may have one of our attorneys chime in on this as well. I mean, when I read this, it implies that the university has policies that discriminate based on gender, which is absolutely illegal for us to do.
Okay.
We do not have any policies that have been imposed that discriminate on the basis of gender, nor will we ever do that. And to me, the thing that bothers me about this particular point is the implication that, the way I'm reading it anyhow, it seems to imply that the university is inclined to impose penalties that discriminate on the basis of gender, which it just is not true, and it would be illegal if we did it.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, we understand the points that you made last week. We get it, and we understand, but we can't come up with a policy that addresses that. It would be illegal for us to do that.
Can we just add that the university is committed to continue whatever the university is doing to protect, you know, female faculty or something like that? The language, you know, showing the commitment of the university to continue. This way people have this question in mind. If mothers are feeling like, oh my gosh, I can't, they know that, you know, they're protected, even though it's already in the language of the university, even though we know that UCF does not discriminate, but people always want, in times like that, they want to know that they are protected. So just continue the commitment.
Here, I changed a couple of my language.
Yeah, we'll continue its commitment to not discriminate based on
gender. I would say more than just gender. I wouldn't, because I don't want to call out that one basis of non-discrimination. Okay. I would just say all the ones that are in our university non-discrimination policy, or we could point to the policy, just say we're committed to enforcing continued enforcement of the university's non-discrimination policy and list the policy number. That's just an idea, but I think we can discuss that.
Here's a thought. I believe the way Article 6 is written suggests that we could say both parties will continue their commitment to non-discrimination.
Yes, I like that. Okay, continue commitment to non-discrimination as based in, yeah.
And we may have to fine tune that a little bit.
Yeah. But, non-discrimination. Okay, I like that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it belongs in this document, but that's the best version of that statement in my mind so far. But and we've worked on it together, which makes it nice.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised what people like will, well, like the what they'll be focusing on, or maybe not surprised. Let me see. Okay. So going down then, so we're almost at the end here. So number five, other. So I changed this language here, the university. So I know that you had struck it completely. So I went back and I went back and I read some of the emails that I received, and it seemed that some people purchased webcams or laptops immediately, but only after being told so by a supervisor, so they could not like have any pause in their efficiency and productivity. So I changed the language to kind of address that, like the people who did spend, you know, $200 or $300 trying to get like webcams and keyboards and basically get set up so they can start working remotely, only because they were told so by a supervisor. So I don't know if this is, I just wanted to see your response to this. Like, is this something the university could work with? Because I know, like, for me, I waited and I just requested my office manager to get it for me. So I wasn't out of pocket anything, but some people were because they were told to buy the stuff immediately.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, that's certainly something we can talk about. Yeah. I mean, I don't, if somebody was instructed to do that by a supervisor, we wouldn't want them to be out of pocket, but we'll have to, yeah. Okay. If the university reimburses them, the university will own the equipment though.
Yes, yes. That's, they were fine with that because they actually, these, some of these people were people who did not want this equipment in their home, like, because they don't like working from home, period. And I was fine with that as well. Like, yeah, I don't need to have all this stuff in my house. Okay. All right, so I think at the bottom here then, so that was the only one for other. The last ones here.
Anna,
go ahead.
Is there an example where someone's having difficulty being reimbursed?
Yes. I don't know if I want to say it here, but yes, there was somebody who was told to supply his own laptop. So he ended up finding like a $300 laptop, and that's, so he's out that in cash. And it was essentially as soon as everybody was told to go, you know, to go start working remotely. And he's like, I don't have a computer. I don't even have internet. And he was told to buy the laptop and buy what he needs in order to stay productive.
Is that something that faculty member can document, say, in an email?
Yes. He told me he had an email of it. And it's actually one of our professional employees who was told that. Actually, more than one was told that, to just go ahead, buy the stuff. But then there was no promise that they would be reimbursed or anything.
Okay.
But I'll send you a couple. I'll have them send me the email from their supervisor. Okay. But if they can document like that, is that, anyway, so just consider it.
Well, we understand.
Sure.
It's very understandable when a supervisor says in writing, go do this, mm-hmm. and somebody does that. I think it's not unreasonable to think that they would be reimbursed for that. That's, I think that's something that that we'll want to talk about.
But the idea of,
you know, being told to do something that caught our attention. You know, that was something that hadn't been in the language you had shared with us before.
Yeah.
Somebody on their own initiative had done something, but this is, I was told by my boss to do this. That's something we want to
look at different,
more carefully.
Yeah.
So the conversation I had with, so this is mostly not so much around among faculty, but more among professional employees, which are used to just working on campus. So they were the ones who were told, just get what you need, but they weren't promised that there was going to be reimbursement or anything. So there were actually three units who talked to me separately about this. And I think I could, I mean, I could ask them for the emails, but they were hoping they would, they didn't want to get in trouble by their supervisor. But then I'm not really entirely sure why they're fearful, but they didn't want to like start waves or get in trouble or anything. That's why the vague language earlier.
Well, see, if somebody's got an instruction from a supervisor, it would seem that that would be pretty easy to get reimbursed for.
Yeah. Okay, so
that,
I will.
That should not be
without
a problem.
An MOU.
Okay.
And
okay.
I can see that that would probably be more, occur more with professionals, because faculty, from the way I think about it, do a lot of work at home. Maybe not this kind of work. They do a lot of their research.
Mm-hmm.
And they use computers. So I would expect the majority of our faculty probably have some type of computer or laptop or iPad or something at home, but not necessarily, you're right, people who maybe work in the library. I don't know.
Yeah, or CAPS, and also, what else do we have? CDL.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right, so I'll, if everyone's okay, I'll go to, I think this is the last issue, which is impact bargaining number 6.
Mm-hmm.
If the applicable government restrictions addressing the pandemic continue beyond our I think we agreed to this one here that we would, then for isolation, social distancing. I think most of this was your language, Chuck.
Which?
Number, I'm sorry, this one, number, well, 15, no, well, 16 on my page here. 16. So lines 175 to 179. I think that's your language, so we accepted that.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, it looked like you had just taken what we had, yes.
Mm-hmm. And then the final one, you had struck this, and Scott could speak to it because he thought it was very important. Scott, would you like to add your rationale for adding it?
You know, I'm not married to this language by any means, but it just still feels that when we're talking about impact of this, you know, I want to have a note that we're having some kind of a discussion about, I don't know, you know, that the longer term impacts that may be building up from the additional stress from working at home. You know, we're already talking about people in situations where they can't get their work done as effectively perhaps, or aren't finding it as easily done as others to make a transition and figure out a new schedule and become teachers of their own children and everything on top of it, regardless of gender. And so, you know, we don't know how long this is going to go on for. On the record, my own personal opinion is that, you know, it's getting late and we should have stay-at-home orders through May. I'd like to say on record as well, I'm really proud of our university, because I think we did a good job of being in front of announcing, because of the amount of people that we have coming and going and everything else, how long we were going to be virtual for and how quickly we made that announcement. You know, and I hope that is the standard we're looking at, because I think that this crisis is that serious. And now we know schools are closed, right? So even if people are able to return to campuses, it's different. And so, you know, I want to make sure we still have an open avenue to be hearing from people and thinking about impact of COVID that may not yet be seen or felt. But as a university and a union with employees who are real people with real families, that, mm-hmm. you know, we're trying to make a note that we're having that conversation as well. Thank you.
Scott, thank you very much for sharing your thoughts on this. You and I have had a couple of opportunities to talk about faculty in distress at various times, and I know how important that is to you and how much you care about all of the employees at the university. And what I want to do is just throw out an idea that is just me. I'm kind of speaking on my own right now. But what if we took this and said that we, both sides, the UFF and the BOT, want to encourage faculty to continue to get help? I mean, because the way this is worded, it sounds like we are supposed to identify people who are under stress. We're really not supposed to do that. I mean, what we do is we provide resources for people. We provide insurance if somebody needs to go and see a medical professional. We have the employee assistance program where people can go and get additional support on a confidential basis. A lot of these issues that people might be experiencing are things that they're going to want to have kept confidential. They're not necessarily going to want to share all these things with a supervisor. So I'm wondering if, you know, this is written as an aspirational statement the way you have it. I'm wondering if we could kind of take that attitude and say we want to really encourage our employees to continue to take care of themselves as the impact of COVID-19 hopefully recedes.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for pointing out the verb identify. That's definitely problematic, especially, you know, as you announced that. And I'll say, hey, sometimes we're working and drafting things quickly, and that is a great verb to change, and a place to kind of like note that kind of a change, right? Because any number of other verbs may already kind of work there with the sense of what, you know, the spirit of what, you know, we're hoping to get across. I think I agree with you, Chuck, on what you're saying. So both parties should aspire to, you know, it's possible maybe we could keep a sentence like that one, but, you know, both parties should aspire to be available, or, you know, I don't know, something, you know, I don't know how much we want to wordsmith it or take time if we can't wordsmith it perfectly. But I agree that I agree with what you said. Thank you.
But, you know, I agree with you that there may be faculty who do have some impacts that last for a while, and they may, in fact, be entitled to an accommodation, but there's a process at the university to get that accommodation. A medical professional has to certify the need, and then the Office of Institutional Equity reviews that and suggests to the departments. It's not really, you know, the chair or whoever who's making that determination. OIE is charged with figuring out what are the changes in schedule or assignment that might be appropriate given a particular person's circumstances. So there are ways to do this, but the burden isn't necessarily on the supervisor.
Well, Chuck, I mean, you know, I hate to be the tough negotiator now that you know.
Good thing I'm seated.
But I've got you on the hook now, you know, because I mean, you're inspiring me. This wasn't my end game, and we're having this conversation, trying to do this together. What if we can operationalize this, actually, and think about, you know, getting in this MOU a statement about, you know, once a month through December, the university will send a, you know, a single item email reminder that, you know, hey, yeah, right, let's presume that we are past this in a couple of weeks, right? And that's part of my concern, is that past this can be past this for, you know, maybe 70% of us or 95% of us, but, you know, those 5% were hit so hard maybe by this change, it's, you know, may last, right? So what about something that would be a once a month announcement along the lines of kind of, you know, what you're saying, hey, we want to reach out, you know, to you and remind you that even though this, you know, was back in April, if it's possible you're feeling effects or something, here are resources, right? Just this kind of like resource reminder, and, you know, we haven't forgotten about this and we haven't forgotten about you.
I think that's an interesting idea, and one that I look forward to talking to with my teammates.
Okay. Well, great. Thank you.
Okay, here, let me get out of share. Stop share. Okay. All right. Okay, there's everybody. So at this point, would you like to go into caucus?
What do you think, team? You want to caucus for a few minutes about this?
I think that's probably a good idea.
Yeah, I think so too.
Okay, so do you guys go into a breakout room or how are we going to do this?
Good question.
Probably we should just hang, I guess, can we not hang up, Briannis, if you're the host?
Yeah, I can't hang up because then it'll start a new recording. So since okay. recording, like, we have to stay.
So can the Board of Trustees team hang up, you stay on, stop recording, and then we'll set up a new Zoom. I'll set one up for us.
Okay.
I'm sorry. If you're working it out, that's great. I was going to suggest maybe just UFF team leaves and we could re-enter since we've done that before and it wasn't a problem.
Okay, we could do that too. And then that's probably easier. And then we can text.
So I guess we're ready to continue?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Started the recording.
Okay, thank you, Briannis. Okay, well, we've got just a few minutes left this afternoon. Giovanna, what we want to do is share with you some of the things that that we went over. We, I think, had a productive caucus. We got almost all the way through things. I have a couple more things that we'll have to follow up on, but wanted to go through and particularly look at point two to begin.
Okay.
We agree that there are issues with a phrase like good faith and so on. I think everybody's kind of got their own interpretation of what that means, and we understand why there's some concern on your part. You know, how would that be implemented? And we understand, we don't know exactly how that's going to be implemented either. But one thing that we do know is that there have been some concerns raised while this was going on. And I'm not saying that I have enough information to make a judgment about whether somebody did enough or tried hard enough, but there's reason to question, at least in a couple of cases, whether that had taken place. So what we would like to offer as a way to maybe resolve this a little bit, there's a sentence that you have that says, there shall be no adverse employment or evaluative action, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. What if we began that sentence with something like the following? Except for employees about whom there are at least two separate and substantiated concerns from student complaints and or supervisor observation / visitation, comma, there shall be no adverse employment or evaluative action. So the idea is there, we don't think there are many cases, there may be none, where somebody hasn't made a reasonable effort at doing this. But if there are cases where there are multiple reports that are substantiated, so it isn't just I got a note from a student, but it was investigated, found out it's legitimate, I checked with another student, is this truly what happened? There may be some faculty who are some supervisors who've gone in and observed what's going on in web courses to see what's happening in these online courses. And they may have seen some things that are of concern, and they may have tried to take some remedial action, and faculty member didn't do what they were asked to do to correct things. In those cases where faculty, and again, there may be none, but and we think it will be very few, if any, but there may be some cases where there are people who really didn't make a good run at this. And we think that there should be, we shouldn't just say, no, we're not going to say anything about that. Everybody had a free pass this semester. But we really think it's very few cases. But in those few cases, there may be reason to, you know, change an annual evaluation or based on whatever is in the AESP. And depending on how serious it is, there's potential if there's a letter of instruction, letter of reprimand, even if it's serious enough. So we think that there needs to be something that allows for that possibility. And I don't know if this is a little bit better language than the good faith effort.
Okay. I'd have to talk with my team about it, but yes.
What I'm going to propose that we do is, you know, we did talk among ourselves about some of these things, and I don't know that we're going to get through all of them this afternoon. In fact, it's going to be impossible for us to do it. I'm going to have to talk really, really fast if that's going to happen again. But listen really, really fast. But, you know, sometime maybe tomorrow, we can send you a new draft that I want to build on what you sent us, add some things, maybe some things that we're going to strike or recommend that they be stricken, and send it back to you. And I'm going to try to get that to you as soon as we can, so that we kind of know what we're looking at the next time we get together. But I think this is something that we feel pretty strongly about. We don't want to see faculty hurt because of what's taken place, but we want to be able to truly reward the faculty that did what they were called upon to do. And if there's not anything, any way of addressing the very few faculty who maybe didn't make a good run at it, it really is detrimental for the ones who did make a good run at it and really tried to make something. And we'd like to be able to distinguish them somehow, whether it's on annual evaluations, awards, whatever the case may be. We'd like to really be able to recognize the ones that really did an outstanding job.
Okay.
I don't know if that makes sense.
That makes sense. Yes. And thank you very much for sharing.
And then I think the last thing that I'll try to talk about today is the next point that you had about faculty teaching asynchronously and or synchronously with set scheduled instruction. There are two concerns that we have about that. One of them I believe mentioned when we were all together the first time today. There are students who have some of the same challenges that our faculty have with schools that are being closed and they're having to take care of children or having to make adjustments for people who are working or aren't working at home. But there's also the potential that if you and I, say, are teaching classes and we both decide that we're going to have synchronous sessions and we choose the same time and there are a couple of students that are enrolled in both of our courses, now they've got a conflict, you know. So it could be problematic if every faculty member is deciding their own times for learning. The way this was, go ahead.
Sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt, but it's just with that one, it was more for the people who had, like for me, for instance, like who had expected to teach on online. I mean, face-to-face, never expected to teach online. So people who already have like a set time. So I'm assuming that the registrar doesn't overlap classes. So I already have a set time for fall for my face-to-face. But if for some reason it goes online, I can do it, but I'm not a very good online teacher. I come from a liberal arts college. I need to have them face to face, but they already have a set time, like the time's already set. So I'm not giving them new times. That's
but we say in here, if this goes into the fall, we need to talk again. This is to carry us through the summer.
Oh, okay. I understand. But in the summer and too, don't they already have their
the set summer, time? Everything's online. Everything's been advertised as online.
Okay, I see what you mean. Okay.
So I'm just not sure that I see why we would want to do this. If we got to a point where we're doing more things online or mixed mode or whatever, we would have to be very careful about how we did the synchronous portions and the asynchronous and how those worked out with the asynchronous courses.
I see what you mean. Okay, so this would be for online, if this would be for the summer, and if it goes into the fall, we'll come back to the table. Okay, that makes sense.
Rest of the team, are you with me on that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And okay. I think we are moving
we're definitely moving in the right direction with these negotiations. I don't think we're that far apart at this point. There's, you know, a couple of places where we've got to work some things out, but I can tell both teams are really trying to accommodate the other's issues.
Yeah, I think we, you know, UFF thanks you for that.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it too.
Yeah.
I guess we're technically past 4:30. What I would like to do is try to get something to you, Giovanna, as soon as we could. It's okay. Kind of our collective thoughts on this, and you know, maybe even before Monday, you'd have a chance to even respond to it, and we could have two documents in front of us and talk about two versions or something. You know, I don't know. Just a thought.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I think we'll attend this immediately because we do, you know, we're interested in also getting it out and letting our faculty and professional employees know that we care about them.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Charlie, Sarah, anything to add?
Well, I think Sarah left because she had a meeting.
Yeah, Sarah had a 4:30 she had to be at. I was just going to ask about the people that said that they had to purchase things, that you forward something.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that we can, if someone has a problem, we're going to fix it. My quick survey from the top is they really want to know if anybody told people to buy things because everyone had laptops available. So
I guess in this unit, they ran out of laptops. So this, what do you call this?
Which unit are you talking about?
Let me talk to him first to find out. So it's a professional employee and he says that the supervisor knew that they wouldn't have enough laptops. The supervisor in particular thought like, oh, we have 5 extra laptops, but it was actually like 8 people who needed it. So he was one of the people that was told to just buy one, but then he was given no promise of being reimbursed or anything.
Okay, because what I was told is that there are enough laptops, so that's why. It's fine.
Oh, okay. So I'll follow up with him. It's just he was a little bit nervous, like he thought that, oh, if I told this story, he would get in trouble somehow, possibly fired. And he was very concerned. Yeah.
Well, if he gets fired, then he has a pretty good case against you. Yeah. I'll say that. If it's about that, there should
be roll over fast.
Yeah.
Shall we say same bat time, same bat channel for next week? Is that the plan then? Ooh. I know you and Chuck may talk outside of that, but for bargaining to.
Yes. Okay.
All right.
So we can do that. Yeah. So I'll definitely, we'll be in touch, Chuck. And we'll get back and forth with it.
See you as soon as I can.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And then we'll see.
My goal is tomorrow. If I miss, I'll get it to you as soon as I can.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate all these efforts and we'll see each other all on Monday next week.
Okay.
I just had one brief question and that was like, did you guys tell me already, how are we going to sign if we decide to?
We can probably do digital signature.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. The hello sign, right? Or something like that.
Well, you've been signing things with your PDF signature, right?
Yes, I have.
Once we have a document, we can PDF it, insert signatures. I'm pretty sure that we can make that happen.
Okay, all right, wonderful. Okay, well, yeah, thank you, everybody.
I am meeting with the Comp and Labor Committee of the Board of Trustees tomorrow, so, and then the full board meets on Thursday.
So Sherry will need an email from you as soon as your ratification vote is done today, if you wouldn't mind.
Okay.
She has to know which way to go tomorrow morning, so.
Okay. All right.
I mean, I'm assuming it's positive. I'm not assuming anything negative, but you know, just to have the final tally in our hands.
Okay. It's a public event. Did you want me to send you the link?
I did.
Okay. All right. So I'll send this to you right after we get off from this call.
Okie dokie.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care, everybody.
Thank you. Bye.